freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studio.
On Seattle Sports.
We're going to do you on the interview.
Don't really work that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Brought to you by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Hello!
Wild day here, Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710. Shannon Dreher, join me in 30 minutes. We'll talk through kind of where the Mariners are at today. But if you were a baseball fan, even a little bit, then yesterday had to blow your mind as the allegations and stories started coming out regarding Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter. It's a truly bizarre story, and I can tell you with all honesty that for the last 3 hours of doing this show, essentially in every break, Justin, Mora, G, Brady, all of us have just been in the back talking through this and speculating, and not all of it is appropriate to share on air because it is just that. It's speculation. We don't know exactly what's happened here, but I think we're doing what people around the country and maybe even around the world are doing at water coolers everywhere today, trying to figure out what's the most likely story. What makes sense? How would you have handled it if you were in any of these guys' situations? Is it possible that you get a $4.5 million line of credit when you make, let's call it at the most, $150,000 a year? Not that $150,000 is chump change, but $4.5 million in terms of a line of credit?
I've never gambled in my life, but from everything I've just seen in TV shows and movies, like, I just think that that's not how bookies operate.
No, certainly not without knowing that Shohei Ohtani line, is like backing just, you. Like, all right, let's say he knows that Shohei's there. Okay, yeah, you work for Shohei, so you have access to money. But you're not going to extend that line of credit unless you know or have had a conversation or something from Shohei. So, again, we don't know how it went down. We just know what we think human nature is. And it's hard for me to fathom that it would have gone that way without Shohei knowing or being involved in some way. So, or, you know, maybe this has just been a long con on Shohei.
Right.
It's crazy. So Tisha Thompson joined us about an hour ago. She's the ESPN investigative reporter on the story and doing a really great job. And thanks to her for coming on. I'll play you some of what she had to say. I mean, one thing that's really interesting is just how close these two guys have been. I'm talking Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter, Ipe Mazuhara.
He is Ohtani's longtime interpreter. And people characterize him as Ohtani's closest friend, that they have a bond as close as brothers, and that they there's a story out there from some years ago that says that Mitsuhara spent more time with Ohtani than he did with his own wife. So these are two men that were very, very close to each other.
Okay, so I mean, you're talking about a bond that has gone back years, but now it sounds like, you know, look, that relationship is breaking up now in some way. Because it starts with Mazuhara saying, oh, yeah, he covered my debts. And then a couple days later telling the same reporter, oh, no, I lied about that. I stole the money.
Not even a couple days later. Tuesday night, he told her one story. Wednesday morning, he told her, no, I lied.
Less than 24 hours later. Thank you, Maura, for helping with the timeline there. There's a lot going on here, and I appreciate that. So, yeah, he retracted. Here's what she said on that.
Yeah, we're in the final stages of putting our story together Wednesday morning, midday, and we get a statement through Ohtani's spokesperson from Ohtani's attorneys saying that there has been a massive theft, and that they are turning it over to authorities. And we then, you know, start making a bunch of phone calls to try to understand what has just happened. And of course, I call Mitsuhara, and he tells, and I say, Ipe, did you lie to me last night? And he says, yes. And he, through a series of questions and answers, tells me that Ohtani did not, this is the second conversation with Mitsuhara, he says he did not tell Ohtani about the gaming debts and that Ohtani did not make the payments.
I didn't tell him about the debts, and he didn't make the payments. So without admitting in this case that he stole the money, he's saying, well, Shohei didn't make the payments and he didn't know about the gambling. That's the only way the payments could have been made then, is if he stole the money and had access to that account, which means he would have had enough access to the account to have not only the account numbers, but also like
the authority
of voice. You know, again, like if you place I have placed a wire transfer. I don't do it a lot. But like sometimes you have to do it if you buy or sell a house, right? You may need to place a wire transfer in that case. And so I think I've done it a couple of times. And it's a process, man. You have everything's recorded and then they've got to call you back on a different line. Like they really have to make sure that there's no fraud going on there. So wire transfer is like a whole thing. He's going to be able to do that without Shohei knowing? I mean, maybe he's got access to all of his phones and all of his numbers and all of his accounts. If that's the case, Shohei left himself wide open to this level of theft, which is not impossible to believe, but certainly difficult to believe, well, just given the amount of money he's worth.
We've seen this happen with players like Bobby Orr is someone we both love. Mm-hmm. I read his autobiography. He trusted someone who had been like his agent
for Alan Eagleson.
Years and years, and that guy was slowly taking money from him. We've seen this happen before. It's not that out of the realm of possibility. What's hard for me to believe is if you're close enough to this guy that he's like a brother, that you don't know that he has this gambling addiction bad. Then if you know that, I have no idea why you would grant him access to your money.
Well, hang on more, because I thought the same thing. If you know that and you put yourself in anybody's position, you've had a friend who's got a problem, whatever it is, you know it exists. Do you get them help and how do you do it? Mm-hmm. Or, and this is where I don't want to get into myself in any sketchy speculative areas either, but like, do you have some similar problems? Because you usually try to get your closest family member help unless you are also dealing with something.
I gotta tell you, it's hard for me to see how this ends without Shohei Ohtani either looking like an incredibly naive at best, stupid at worst person who was duped in a way that he should have seen coming in 25 different ways.
Yeah, I just can't see an inept financial guy. Like, no.
Or he's a part of it.
Right.
In some way. And that there is a cover job now going on in order to shield him from whatever's going on. And again, we have no idea which of those scenarios it'll end up being. I'm not saying it is one or the other, but it's hard for me to fathom how it could end up being anything other than one of those two situations.
And your question was, what's your next question going to be?
Yeah, here was her answer on that.
What I'm trying to do is figure out which authorities have been contacted. We have a source close to what's going on. With knowledge, who told me yesterday when all of this was breaking that it's complicated because so many of the people that, you know, would be part of all of this are currently in South Korea. You know, the Padres and the Dodgers just played their second game this morning if you're on Eastern time.
So she wants to find out which authorities have been contacted. Okay, I'll admit that probably would not be the first thing I would want to know. Not that I don't want to know it, but if I could find out anything, if I gave you guys if we could have a magic wand waved and we get one piece of information, the first thing I want to know is, was Shohei Ohtani involved in betting? That's the first thing I want to know. Second thing I want to know, was baseball bet on in any way?
Yep.
By either Shohei Ohtani or by Ipe. Were either of them in any way, shape, or form betting on professional baseball? Because that's the ball game. Pardon the pun. That's it.
Yep.
If that comes out, or if we find out that Shohei was actually doing this to this level, I think we can accept that baseball players could bet on other sports. But if you're $4.5 million in debt and it actually is his money, his debt, it leaves him so open to bad influences that baseball cannot deal. They cannot have that. You can't allow a player to be $4.5 million in the hole. I know he makes an unbelievable amount of money. He can cover it, but that is leading to such a potentially bad place of him being, you know, under the power and influence of bad actors. You can't have it. So
you can understand the fan angle of like, there's no chance any punishment will be handed out.
Absolutely, that's like, possible. Yeah, we may never find out all of this.
Unless there's video of him looking in a camera and admitting something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it's going to take.
Let's see. This isn't that big of a story. Somebody stole some money. Let's talk about football. No, I don't think it's quite that, I got to tell you. My question is, if the bets were placed for Shohei, why would he not pay them off? Why would he let the debt accumulate and not start paying till 2023? It's a great question. Absolutely. That's why this thing is just so weird and so funky. No, Mike, what you want to know is, was he involved in betting on baseball? Yeah, no kidding. That's what I just said. I absolutely want to know about that. What if he deferred all that money because they're trying to curb a gambling addiction? I don't think it was that, but fascinating questions, man, and they're not going away until we start getting some answers. We'll come back with everything you need to know. Shannon Dreher in 20. Brock and Salk, CL Sports on 710.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, it's a big day on the sports calendar, of course. Today is the start of the NCAA tournament. For real, not the little first four stuff. Today is the day it really gets going. And so, yeah, people following that, I'm sure a lot of folks taking the day off today to just go enjoy all of the games and the madness as it all goes down. Now, of course, we got two local teams that will be involved. Both Washington schools play today rather than tomorrow. So we'll start with the Zags. 4:25, they get underway. That game is on TBS. And then the Cougs play the last game of the night, 7:05 on the mythical True TV. So make sure you know where to find that ahead of time. True TV, or you can find that on the Max app, which is where I'll be watching probably later tonight. Two teams have played before, Wazoo and Drake. It was in 1935. So it's been a little while. That game ended. It was a barn burner, 28-27. You think they had like wooden rims in that game when they played?
Probably.
Like they were actually shooting it into a wooden basket, 28-27.
Milk crates.
Wow. Bulldogs 1.5-point favorites, though, heading into the matchup. And Kyle Smith, really just happy to be here.
Really excited to be here. It's been a wonderful season. Being a 7 seed, not having to completely sweat it out on the bubble was nice. But got a really good group that have really propelled this program over the last 3 years, making consecutive NITs and then finally graduating to where we're playing the NCAA.
So yeah, good for them. Excited. That'll get going, as we said, tonight. You can listen to the game here on Seattle Sports, pregame 6:30. Mariners game will air at the same time on 770 KTTH. No Huskies in the tournament, of course. They're looking for a new AD and a new head basketball coach. Troy Dannon, of course, is out. He's heading to Nebraska, where he's going to make a whole bunch of money, but he says it's not about that. Jake Garcia found him yesterday on King 5 over at the baggage terminal at SeaTac.
It was really a move back home, a family thing. You know, I've said it was very, very personal, and because I've loved everything about Washington. You know, my family's not here yet, and you know, the chance to, you know, go to what is a great place, but it's really home.
These people in college sports, I swear to God, if they're talking, they're lying. If they're opening their mouth, they're lying about something. Oh, I've really, really enjoyed my time here. Didn't want to leave. Never moved my family here. Well, you can't say those two things back to back.
Yeah, this is my last job.
What are you talking about? If your lips are moving, you're lying.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Speaking of lying, somebody is doing some of it in this Shohei Ohtani interpreter situation. His interpreter told two completely separate stories to the same reporter less than 24 hours apart. So he was lying at the beginning when he said that Shohei lent him the $4.5 million to cover the debts. Or he was lying later when he said Shohei had no knowledge of the $4.5 million going from one situation or one place to the other. We talked to Tisha Thompson, who's the ESPN reporter on this. She explained how they got hooked up with this story.
Based on multiple sources and bank documents that I had seen, we were reaching out to a Ohtani spokesperson to ask why there was a bank account with Shohei Ohtani's name on it that was sending wire transfers to a Southern California bookmaker, and an operation, I should say, run by a Southern California bookmaker. And that bookmaker and the operation around it, according to multiple sources, is currently under investigation by federal authorities in California. And so we wanted to understand, why is Ohtani's name on on these wire transfers.
Yeah. So this thing is going to get super messy. It's going to continue to be that way. And we'll keep following it as long as we can. But yeah, I'm pretty interested to see where this goes. Baseball back at it again this morning from Seoul, South Korea. Dodgers lose today to San Diego. The Padres have really been hitting the heck out of the ball. So good for them. And we'll talk to Shannon Dreyer about where the Mariners are at. They were off yesterday. Get back to it today. Back tonight against the Reds.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Yeah, last story today, Seahawks making a few deals official. Jonathan Hankins and Rayshon Jenkins both signed their contracts yesterday. So they are now officially members of the team. It's not just reportedly, it's actually official. And the NFL is going to try to make some changes to the rules. We know a little bit about what they want to do with these hip drop tackles. They want to ban those. The players say it's too complicated to ban, and so they oppose it. And then they want to make a major change to the kickoffs. Here's Dan Graziano explaining.
So they wanted to try and design something where there would be returns. So they consulted with players around the league and special teams coaches around the league. And this is what they came up with, this new alignment where the kicking team, the kicker will kick from the 35. The kicking team will line up on the opposing team's 40. Nobody but the kicker and the returner can move until the ball either hits the ground or is caught by one of the returners. And the idea is to get more returns back into the game, but also do it in a way that reduces those high-speed collisions that have made the kickoff such a dangerous play when it comes to concussion
rate. So I think this actually makes some sense, as long as there are actual returns. I mean, I think they got to move it back so that the kickers aren't blasting it through the end zone every time. But this could actually improve the rate of returns, right? If you've just got, like, they're setting up as if there's a play, and the moment he catches the ball, you start the play. Yeah, okay, I get that. That sounds kind of interesting. I'm game.
Okay.
That's everything you need to know, quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk Show. All right, the big stories, and we've been talking about them throughout the day. Evan Drellick helped us with what's going on in Major League Baseball with the Players Association. Crazy story there, as there is essentially a palace coup, and they are ousting the leadership of the Players Union and replacing him with a 33-year-old who helped get all of the minor leaguers into this union. If you missed any of that, go back and listen to it. It's a fascinating story. That'll be on the podcast page later today at clsports.com. Then, of course, you've got Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter. We just went through all of that. And in the middle of it all, the Mariners are getting ready to have their opener a week from tonight. Shannon Dreyer's got the latest on that story next.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Three big baseball stories today in addition to us being 1 week from opening day. Shannon Dreyer, our Mariners insider, is still in the desert, and she joins us now. Hi, Shannon. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, but barely in the desert. The truck actually leaves tomorrow. We have to get our bags to the complex today. I can't believe we're almost there.
So have people been there milling around yet? Have you seen anybody yet today?
Oh, I'm not there yet. We don't have to be there. No, it's a night game. Calm down, Mike.
Well, I assume not, but it's too bad because I was sort of hoping to find out what the buzz was. I mean, like, there's, I would say, three stories generating interest in news this morning. We got Shohei Ohtani, we've got the union shakeup, and we've got the new sandwich, the Double Mitch Witch, which will be offered this year at T-Mobile Park. So all three, I would assume, would have been generating big buzz amongst the players and everybody sort of gathered around there.
Yeah, there's actually, I've been around a little bit of buzz about some of that in the last 24 hours, kind of more the Ohtani situation. And, you know, everybody is just shocked what they're seeing there. And then just kind of the way that things kept coming out about it and the possibilities that that could be. And we don't know anything at this point, but, you know, it makes you wonder about some things. And the one thing that I did hear is that, you know, if the government gets involved, if the FBI is involved, then all bets are off because, you know, it's hard to see MLB doing anything to Ohtani. Right.
Right.
I mean, he is like, you know, you're probably not going to do that. But if it is an illegal gambling ring and the feds are involved in it, that's completely a different story. So I think the first tweet that came out about that, I forgot who it was. It might have been Joel Sherman or I forgot who it was. But they said this is going to be the biggest story in baseball this year. We'll see. We'll see.
Well, just as you've heard some of that buzz, I probably know the answer to that. But has there been any indication that, like, people thought maybe there was some dark sketchiness, or like generally ball players know, right? You know what I mean?
No, nothing, nothing. I mean, Ohtani, very, very popular and, you know, with players alike. So I have not heard anything about him or his interpreter, but, you know, they are very closely tied. His interpreter has, you know, been his right-hand person since he has been with the Angels, and I don't know how far back they go, but yeah, I mean, this is a tough one. It's going to take some time to kind of unwind, but no, I've never heard anything suspicious about Ohtani before.
How do you think his interpreter's getting home from Seoul? He got fired in Seoul. He's not getting on that plane going back with them. And he's $4.5 million in debt. So he's not like, you know, don't have a lot of money to just sort of spend on another plane ticket.
Well, I'm sure. I don't even want to go with
you don't have to
the
answer
possibilities
that,
on this. I mean, it is just too much.
Yeah, I withdraw the question.
It is way too much. But, you know, the other thing that I would throw out there is, what about the Angels? This didn't all happen while he was in the Dodger clubhouse.
Quite the opposite. And no, it all happened while he was in the Angel clubhouse, for sure.
Where, you know, and then along those lines, I think there have to be questions with, you know, they've already had problems. So you know, not good news in the least.
When you said they've always had problems, are you going back to the drug stuff from a couple, was a year or two ago?
Yeah, you're going back to the Skaggs stuff. You're
right.
Going back to, you know, you had a team employees that were participating in that. And you had the sticky stuff, you know, kind of scandal, which really wasn't a scandal because everybody knew it and probably were partaking in it too. But it's not a good look, not a good look for an organization that is full of not good looks right now.
1 week away from opening day, let's talk some Mariners baseball, not just about the double Mitch Witch, although I wasn't sure. Have you read a little bit about the double Mitch Witch?
You know what? I just saw the name of it. If you would like to let me know the details, I'd be very
I would.
Interested.
I'm happy to. Yeah. Shannon, no, I'm happy to clue you in. I know this is important, the kind
okay.
of thing that you don't necessarily you know, report on, but I'll help you out here. So the double Mitch Witch is a sandwich that you can get at the walkout market at T-Mobile, and it's got two sides to it. So it's one sandwich with two sides, so you get them both. On one side, you get the Mitch Garver side, and that's basically a Cuban, right? Pulled pork and ham and mustard
right.
and pickles. On the
uh-huh.
other side, the Mitch Haniger section, sort of Bay Area-based, is grilled chicken with some sort of a fried avocado, bacon, and Havarti cheese. Here's my question.
Yes.
Let's say, Shannon, opening day, week from tonight, you get over to the ballpark and you get yourself a double Mitch Witch.
Mm-hmm.
Which section are you eating first and which section are you saving for last?
Absolutely. The Cuban side, although I don't know how that works as a grab and go.
You're eating like that one first or you're saving it for last?
Oh, I'm eating that first because that's the one that I would like the most
by far.
I love a Cuban sandwich.
You eat your favorite first and then leave the other half to eat afterwards so it's the last taste in your mouth? What?
Well, yeah, no, it goes eat dessert first because life is uncertain. You don't know what's going
to
happen.
Oh, my gosh, so. Shannon, no. Oh, this is painful. I can't believe what I'm hearing here.
Yes.
No, you have to leave the great lasting flavor in your mouth of whatever the best thing was.
Well, then you just brush your teeth. I mean, I don't quite get that.
What are you? You've been influenced by Bob Stelton. If you're just brushing your teeth after every meal, I don't know what's going on here. All right, let's talk some Mariner baseball. We're a week away. I was thinking about Luis Castillo quite a bit yesterday, and then even today, it's crazy, right? Looking at that deal, Arroyo just had surgery, and Noelvi Marte is going to be 80 games for performance enhancing drugs. And Levi Stout is now back with the Mariners. I know Brandon Williamson wasn't part of that deal, but he's hurt with the Reds now as well. How good is that Luis Castillo deal looking today?
You know, it was one of those ones where you took a deep breath at the time. And you're like, well, you have to give good to get good in that case. And they did. And they dealt from areas of not strength in the young infielders. So that one kind of hurt. And you have since. Let's go ahead and throw in what you saw from Cole Young in spring training, and you're feeling pretty good about him right now. Could Noelvi Marte have helped this team last year? Possibly. Could he have this year? Possibly. Arroyo was still a ways out. But I think that a year from now, one, if not both of those players are replaced at the big league level. I think you have grown those prospects, so that's important. And then the fact that you were able to sign Castillo to the deal, and it was a team-friendly deal, I don't think that this one was as bad as some people would like to say it was. So mm-hmm. I don't think too much about it at this point. But while we are on the Luis Castillo subject, let me throw in something else. I think we've seen him take a step up in leadership, which is a surprise to me, because he was very much a lead by example guy last year. And you would hear a little bit like Bryce Miller, when I asked him last year, who has helped you the most? He said Luis Castillo. And that was kind of a surprise. He's kind of been a little bit of a mystery to us since he came over this year. And I'm sure it has something to do with the trip that Scott Servais made to the Dominican to go fishing with him and catch the red snapper off the big boat. I'm sure a little bit more was asked in that regard, and I think Luis is totally on board with that. I think it's a role that he's embracing. Perhaps he was doing it more than I thought he was at the time, but you see him with Logan Gilbert around camp all the time, and Logan said he is somebody that has really helped me. And you see him watching all the bullpens, and I see him stay longer. He doesn't do his work and get out. He's usually at his locker. He's usually available, but from what we're seeing, he is talking to the rest of the group right now. And he is helping with things, which is fantastic, because that just kind of checks off something that was on my list of concern, was you really didn't have leadership in your pitching group or more veteran leadership. Mm-hmm. I think Castillo is doing it right now, and go ahead and throw in, they added Ryan Stanek, and that, boom, you've got that in the bullpen now too.
Yeah, it's interesting how, you know, maybe Scott was thinking along right there with you, saying, hey, we've lost Robbie Ray, who was sort of that starting pitcher leader. We lost Marco Gonzalez. The only real guy to provide it at this point would be Luis Castillo. And so maybe that is quite a bit of what happened on that trip. And then, you know, 31 years old this year, it's kind of right in the Cy Young sweet spot. I know we talked to reporters yesterday. Were you around for some of that conversation with Luis?
Yes.
And, you know, this idea, like, what did you take out of that about him and sort of his year moving forward?
Honestly, it's nothing new. He has three goals every year, and he has for 7 years. And the first is, and I asked the question because there was one goal he didn't say that I would have liked to for him to have said, but I think he was probably taking it more as a personal goal. Mm-hmm. But he says he wants to be the opening day starter. He wants to make the All-Star game, and he wants to win the Cy Young. I'd like to win a World Series. I'd like to hear the Mitch Haniger, yeah. I want to win the World Series from Luis Castillo too. But there could be something lost in the translation there. When you ask for your goals, he might not be thinking along those lines.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to worry about that right there. But if Luis Castillo wins the Cy Young, I think the Mariners are in good shape.
You mentioned Mitch Haniger, Shannon. He's the best player in baseball right now, of course. now, we've seen this from Mitch in the past, where he goes on one of these hot streaks and he's just ridiculous for a couple of weeks. Is that what we're seeing now? Is this just dumb spring training stuff, or is this the sign of a revitalized Mitch Haniger back in Seattle to do damage this year?
What we're seeing right now is we're seeing a healthy Mitch Haniger, and we are also seeing him comfortable with where he is at the plate. We're seeing a guy that has his timing, and we're also seeing a guy that's made some adjustments. We're seeing him go the other way a little bit. We're seeing him go to right center a little bit. He's using more of the whole field, and he already was a guy that could hit in T-Mobile Park, but it looks like he's been working on some other things too. So, I mean, obviously you want to bottle what you are seeing from him right now and take it into the regular season. But with Mitch and with anybody on this roster right now, offensively, there's no guarantee what happens when they get up to Seattle or any other ballpark in its opening day. The stuff that they do down here, it really doesn't mean a lot until they are facing big league pitchers on big league adrenaline and big league mounds and big league stadiums and going from there. But I don't think you could have asked for more or wanted to see more from Mitch Haniger this spring.
Do you have a sense yet, and maybe it's hard to do on the radio, of what this lineup will look like 1-9? I know it'll be a little different, lefties versus righties, but let's say righty starter out there. Do you have a sense as to who hits after Julio?
Oh, yeah, no, Polanco hits after Julio.
So that's done. So Polanco's going to be three.
Yeah. My question is, where does Cal hit? We've been seeing the Mitches together, but usually we haven't seen Cal in that game, and I think that'll be different left-right as well.
Mm-hmm.
But your 1-2-3, I think, is pretty much locked in.
JP, Julio, Polanco, probably Cal. Garver after that, and then that's probably where the lefty-righty thing starts to come in, right? Because if it's is Haniger going to be playing against righties?
Yeah, that's not a straight platoon. Haniger is going to play as – I think they're going to be looking to just basically protect him, keep him a little bit fresher. That won't be a platoon. So, yeah, I think Haniger will be the priority there.
And then opening day, you think it's Canzone who gets a start over Luke Rayleigh just based on the spring?
Yes. I feel good. Yes. I'll go with yes.
So I'm kind of just looking at this lineup and it looks pretty darn good on paper. I got to tell you, like just running through it, right? 1, 2, 3, JP, Julio, Polanco, 4, 5, 6 in some order, Cal, Garver, Haniger, and then 7, 8, 9 in some order, France, Canzone or Rayleigh. And then your third baseman. That's pretty good lineup, isn't it?
Well, I felt about that in best if everybody is there, you know, if everything goes right on paper at the beginning of spring training, I felt very good about it. This lineup has a potential to be very good. They got to stay healthy. They got to perform. Your young guys have got to, you know, not young guy it too much early on this year, and your older guys have got to stay healthy. And if they do, I'll go ahead and take, you know, it looks like Cal might have taken a little bit of a step forward at the plate, but again, you don't know. But you're going to see more of Cal. You do know that. You know, Seve Zavala is going to be basically a one-day-a-week backup, the old traditional Sunday special catcher. So if he is, you know, if you're adding Cal back to the lineup a little bit more, I think that helps as well. And your third base situation, I think we talked about this the other day, hasn't been as horrific as it was at the beginning of spring training.
Good. Well, Shannon, we're excited. We are just a week away. A good question here from Matt in Oregon, who says, are you only allowed to buy the double Mitchwitch with a partner and then eat it Lady in the Tramp style so that you meet in the middle of the Mitchwitch? It's a good question, Matt. I don't know the answer to it, and I don't feel comfortable asking Shannon.
I'm with you. Eat the better part first. That way you're not full at the end and can't finish the best part. So that's
that must be cool to be full. I can't really imagine what that feeling is like. Never really been there. Shannon, thank you. We'll see you sooner rather than later. In a week from tonight, we'll all be out there at T-Mobile Park. Thank you.
Looking forward to it.
Love it. All right, Shannon Dreher, our Mariners insider. And yes, I should remind you, as opening day gets closer and closer, we do want to send one of you and three friends to the game. All you need to do, open the Seattle Sports app, click the Win tab to find out how. If you don't already have the app, just text APP, APP, to 866-979-3776. We'll send you a link to download it right now. Don't miss out on your chance to join the fun at opening day. That's right, we got your tickets. This contest runs through Sunday, March 20th. Fourth. Maura, I know you liked the whatever garbage ranked we had yesterday, but finally, we're back and ready to go.
Oh, you mean a ranking in a traditional sense?
Play like the music!
Go, Maura.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwumfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Salk.
Top 10 list. I'm not buying it.
Ranked.
All right, it is time to rank, and I can't believe we've never done this, given that we are a sports station.
Totally. This is the most
we talk about baseball. We talk about basketball. Not a ton, but we do a little bit. Balls are one of the most important things in sports.
A lot of football talk.
Today, we're going to rank them. Today, we are going to rank them. And we've got a lot of options. We've got accept.
What a terrible song.
They're a Canadian band, right? Accept.
I don't know. Accept.
It's a big song. There you go.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know it.
You don't know that song?
Never heard it.
What?
I don't.
Oh, it's a huge song.
I somehow missed the Accept
train. You missed out. The Accept era.
Yeah, whatever that was.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Across the desk.
Let's see. We got LeVar Ball and his many children.
5-on-5 game, he good. 1-on-1, I'm undefeated. Never lost.
He's going to beat Michael Jordan 1-on-1. I always love that one.
D'Angelo, LaMelo,
and LeVar. No, he's LeVar. LaMelo, I don't know, man. Don't worry about it.
D'Angelo.
We got Steve Ball.
Just making up names.
Steve Ballmer.
I have 4 words for you. I love this
company. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you know Steve Ballmer. Brock's not here, but I'll play this one just for him because Brock loves this.
Developers.
He's clapping. He's getting a twitch in his ankle. He feels this one from afar.
This is like Brock's favorite cut we have in our whole system. Yes. He loves that. Let's see. We got little Troy.
Wow. Yep.
You thought that was going to be a top five ball?
No question. That was a top five ball.
It's a tough one. It's a loaded top five, Justin, as you might imagine. Let's see. Curtis Blow did this one. Basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way to dribble up and down the court. Just like I'm the king on the microphone. So is Dr. J and Moses Malone. I like slam dunks and taking it to rap was really something in the early 80s. I like the pick and roll. I like the give and go.
Cause it's basketball. Mr. Curtis Blow. Man, that's a long one. That's a long one.
Yeah, that's basketball.
The chorus was the best part.
I know. Sorry. That's all I got there. You got Dodgeball the movie. You got Basketball the movie. Balls of Fury.
Dodger Wrench.
You got Ballers.
Balls of Fury. Show with that the Rock was the Christopher Walken movie.
Yep.
Do you guys have Outkast in here?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We're getting there. We've got Dragon Ball Z, Monsters Ball. Didn't she win an Oscar for Monsters Ball? I think she did. If not, somebody should be beaten with a ball peen hammer.
Nice. That's a pretty good one.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Or have a, you know, be put in a pit with a ball python.
Like a ball pit?
Ball pit. Chuck E. Cheese ball pit. The pink eye pit.
It's disgusting. Huh? Don't worry about it, Mark. Don't worry. It's fine.
Oh, I'm worried.
You seem a little worried. I don't want you to worry.
Do you want a ball gown?
This one came very, very close to being in the top five because I just love this song, but it didn't. I couldn't quite get it in there, even though I love it. Oh, this is the best Temptation song.
Ball of Confusion?
Yeah, Ball of Confusion is my favorite Temptation song. Hmm. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I know,
did
my
you
girl.
Did you play Get Ready the other day?
I did, yeah, which is also a great song.
Better than that one.
Oh, no. Ball of Confusion is so good. People moving out, people moving in. Oh, it's so good.
I know you don't like Moneyball, but that's a pretty good one.
Moneyball? I love the book. One of my favorite books I've ever read.
Good ball.
For sure.
Except as a German band, apparently.
Okay. I thought they were Canadian for some reason.
I didn't know that one.
My bad. Don't worry about it. AC/DC.
Well, I'm upper, upper class high society. God's gift to ballroom notoriety.
Yeah, you get a lot of text for this one.
And I always fill my ballroom. The event is never small.
Ballroom.
Yeah, it's his ballroom.
That's all it is.
Yeah, yep. All right, thank you. That's AC/DC, and yes, that one was definitely going to be on here.
Seems this segment, like, don't worry about it, it's becoming the rank slogan.
Well, you have to.
You should just rename the segment. It's about to do something weird. Don't worry about it.
Players Ball, more I know you mentioned from Outkast, for sure. Let's see.
Have you ever done any Whirly Ball?
What is Whirly Ball?
You should take the kids to Whirly Ball. I think there's one at Edmonds.
I don't know what that is.
It's like you drive like little like bumper cars. It's kind of like a mixture of three different sports. What's the one where you drive the horse and you hit the
polo?
Polo. It's like polo and there's a bunch of other. It's fun. You should do Whirly Ball with the kids. I came in like a
rainbow. You knew my room was gonna get in here. So
should be top five though.
Should have been.
It's a great song.
Let's face it. We all know Milo is flawless.
Great song.
It's great in The Night Before. All right, you ready for the top five? Top five, going way back for Jerry Lee Lewis, who is a problematic character, but one of the all-time songs, right? Goodness gracious, Great Balls of Fire.
Yes.
So it's going to be number five on our list.
Did you not find it?
Oh, it's here, but it's, you know, there's a lot of stuff.
Balthazar,
everywhere.
That's a good one, 206. Thank you.
Balthazar
didn't
Getty?
That. Didn't think about that.
Balthazar Getty.
It's pretty good. You shake my
there it is. And you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, Great Balls of Fire. That's number five. Number four, Social D. Nobody turns the song off when it comes on, right?
That's probably one of my least favorite Social D's, but it's a good song.
Social D's just good. Whatever they do is good. You know what's a great song of theirs is Bad Luck. I love that song. Number three. Oh, geez, wrong button. Hold on. Number three. Here we go. Covered about a million times. Crocus by Tia Carrera.
Yeah, it's the only one I can think
of.
In
the Wings World. Yes, she does a great job of it. She's actually, that version's really good.
It's terrific.
But we'll go with the sweet version since it's the original.
I was young enough to think that it was her song.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Stop it.
I was a kid myself. That's not true. I was like, oh, she's really good.
Stop it.
I love this song.
That's not true. Stop. Justin.
No.
I wish that there weren't so many stories like that of yours.
Sorry.
I really wish there weren't that many stories that involved you thinking something like that.
Yeah. If I had a crystal ball, I could go back and change it. I would.
I like that.
Thanks.
Good one. That's pretty good. Number two. Anybody know the song? Be hearing it. Week from tonight. Opening night of the ballpark. Which says, take me out to the ball game. But
yes.
Not number one. It's close.
Is number one going to be from Wildcats where she says, football?
It should have been. No. Number one.
The radar, sir. It appears to be... jammed.
Spaceballs.
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 I can assure both you and your viewers that there's absolutely no air shortage whatsoever.
Prince
Lone Star.
Prince?
I just found out. That's what this says. I'm an honest-to-God prince.
There's only so many lines from that movie we can play on the radio here.
True, true.
Those
can
are a few of them.
Can I hear some Outcast Players Ball or no?
I don't know whether Justin put any sound in there. Sorry.
You said you had it, liar.
I said it was on the list. I didn't say that we had sound
of
it.
We got a lot of requests for it.
I don't think we have sound of it. Sorry, Moore.
Can I make up for it with this?
Make up with Moore. Moore was also singing some Limp Bizkit today.
He was singing Limp Bizkit.
Too bad it was off the air. Guttural.
Curse whoever texted in and said, Justin, you need to save Moore doing that.
Hey, you're already on it.
All right, we got to go.
Baltimore, by the way?
Huh?
Baltimore?
No, that's not even in the top. It's not anywhere
it's
on
not
there.
Even our list. No,
not even close.
Our ball joint?
We got to run. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. for a Friday edition of this show. Stick around for Bump and Stacey next. Until tomorrow, the hay. Thank you, Maura. It's in the barn. See everybody.
Get to the chopper!